Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Praise Him. Thank you. God bless you. Be seated for a while. You are welcome to this session, the service in Jesus' name. Happy Women's Day. Praise God. Yes. I heard it from my daughters and my wife also said it. I didn't know before. You know, we need to honor our women. They are wonderful. Mother's Day. Oh, Mother's Day. Yes, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. God bless you. You are all wonderful. God created you specially. You always multitask. Do so many things at once that we cannot do. So I honor you. God bless you all. Amen. Yes. Today we want to talk about the subject the Lord laid in my heart. And it's a question. It's in form of a question. But before I announce the topic, let us pray. My Lord and my God, we want to thank you for this wonderful, special King of Glory. I'm asking that you speak through me to your children. Lord, we want to hear from you that one word that is needful for us to become Christ-like. Drop it in my heart, drop it in our hearts today in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Take perfect control and let your name, Lord, be glorified in this service and in this session in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to the book of John chapter 15. John chapter 15 from verse 1 to 10. I'm going to read King James Version. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except abide in the vine, no more can you, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me he can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Praise the Lord. The topic is, which fruit am I bearing? Personalize it. Which fruit am I bearing? In this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ was at the terminal point of his earthly ministry, and he was giving some parting remarks to disciples. He had promised them the Holy Spirit. Again, he was assuring them, look, I'm going to still be with you. All you need to do as I'm going, no longer going to be physically with you, abide in me. It's when you abide in me, then I abide in you, That's when you can flourish, that's when you can prosper, and that's when you can bring forth fruit. Amen. So Jesus was saying, I'm not going to abandon you. I'm still going to be with you, but abide in me. So it's a metaphor that Jesus used of fruit bearing to describe the produce of our lives as believers. As believers, we expect to bring forth fruit. We're going to talk about this fruit today. Which fruit am I bearing? In this allegory, it's an allegory, you know, the vine represents the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know about the grapevine, yes. The husbandman or gardener or vine dresser represents the Father. And the branches represent children of God, Christians. And in this passage, we are told that the productive branches, something is done to them. They are producing quite all right. But the vine dresser, the husbandman, wants more fruit out of it. Therefore, prunes it. And that pruning is regarded as discipline. So if God disciplines you as a child, don't be surprised because he loves you dearly. And he wants you to produce more fruit. Amen. But your productive branches, what does the vine dresser do? They look, you are taking nutrients from the one that are producing. You are not producing, and you are sapping the nutrient that should be enjoyed by this one that are producing. Therefore, curse it away and taste it away, curse it off. Whereas those that are producing, he prunes them, knows how he prunes them so that they can produce more. That's important. God expects us to be fruitful. In the very beginning, when God created man, he said, go, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. Fruitfulness is expected of us. Even unbelievers, God expects that fruitfulness naturally. But we're not talking about the natural fruitfulness today of childbearing. We're talking about spiritual fruitfulness. What fruit am I bearing? Abiding in Christ means believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The very first step is to believe him whom God has sent. Believe, receive him as your Lord and personal Savior, and then continue to serve him. You don't just receive him and abandon him. You don't just receive him and then forget about his ways and his lifestyle. No. Receive him, abide with him, and continue to do so, and relate in love to fellow brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. This love is God's kind of love. God wants us to relate in love to one another. God's kind of love. Jesus Christ said he loved us. He has loved us, and we ought also to love him. Jesus said, if you love me, what do? We keep his... If you love Jesus, you keep his commandments. No other way. Oh, I love Jesus, but I don't want to keep the commandments. It doesn't really matter. You know, we're under grace. We're under grace. It doesn't really matter. I don't need to obey anything because we're under grace. You know, we talked about that sometime. But you see, some people abuse grace. That is it. You love Jesus, obey him. Some Christians don't want to hear that word, obey. Me obey somebody? If Jesus is your Lord, you have to obey him. If Jesus is our Lord, we are supposed to be his servants ordinarily. But even he goes a step further. He says we are his friends. He calls us his friends. So the relationship is so much that we really need to obey him. We really need to obey his commandments. If you love somebody, you don't want to offend that person. You love Jesus, you don't want to offend him. So out of love, we should obey him. Not necessarily because they are just commandments, but you love him so much, you want to obey him. That's when we become fruitful. We continue to abide in him. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. See the love of God? Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 15, verse 10. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant doeth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. John 15, verse 15. Isn't it awesome that Jesus Christ is our friend? He's our brother. He's our savior. He's our creator. He's everything to us. Jesus means so much to us. But we need to abide in him. Abiding in him means obeying him and following in his footsteps. Fruit, as used in this allegory, is usually, is used to describe the output that we have as Christians, like I said earlier. And it describes a person's outward actions. Something you can see, it's visible. Fruits are visible. They are not invisible. They are things you can really see. Fruits, outward actions that result from the condition of the heart. Good fruit is produced by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So don't spiritualize it. Say, fruit. Ah, my fruit. God knows my fruit. You may not see my fruit, but God sees my fruit. No. Fruit is visible. The fruit you are bearing is visible to all. All and sundry, both God and even your enemies, they see what is in you, what you bear. So don't say, it's not something that you can see. It should be seen. It represents what is inside. It's an outflow of what is inside of you. That's what brings forth fruit. If it's an evil thing that's inside of you, it will manifest someday, sometime. If it's good fruit, it will manifest. And when we talk about the good fruit of the Holy Spirit, we know that in Galatians chapter 5, there's a description of the fruit of the Spirit. If you have this fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 to 23, if you have the fruit of the Spirit complete in you, you are a matured Christian. If you have the fruit of the Spirit complete in you, you are Christ-like. And that is the ultimate goal of every believer. You may have other things that you say, are the purposes why God called us. But one of the central, most important, is that we conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 29. Praise God. So let's read Galatians 5, 22 to 23. It tells us about the fruit we ought to bear. But remember the question, what fruit am I bearing? Because there is the good fruit and there is the evil fruit. We shall talk about both of them. And then you'll be the one to be the judge and assess yourself and see the fruit that you are bearing. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. Can you just say faith, but other versions, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, against so there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lusts. So the fruit of the Spirit is very important for us to imbibe in our character. We have the fruit of the Spirit, we resemble Christ automatically. And it's visible, it's not something invisible. Remember, it's the outward action of what is inside of you, that is fruit. So the first aspect of the fruit is love. Love, agape love, because there be different kinds of love, have filial love, have erotic love and all that, but we're talking about agape love, God's kind of love, unconditional love, the kind of love that made Christ to come and die for us. Why were yet sinners? He loved us so much and he died for us. We didn't qualify. So that's kind of love we have for God and with one another. This love is made manifest by the way we deal with fellow brothers and sisters and even with fellow men. Because God, we cannot see. How do we show this love to God? When you love your fellow human being, fellow brother and sister, you are loving God. Amen. That's how you love God. On the other hand, you say, oh, I love God, but I don't love this my brother, I don't love this my sister. That's contradiction. So we need to show love of God by loving fellow brothers and sisters whom Christ died for. Next one is joy, gladness. You know, it's like happiness, but not exactly same as happiness. Happiness depends on happiness. Yes, what's happening around in the environment make you, you know, joyful, extra, you know, you express it, you are happy. You are happy. Like today is Mother's Day. Mothers are particularly happy. I can see some of them dressed in particular way and fashion because to commemorate this celebration of Mother's Day. Is it not so? You're happy. Yeah. Today is your day. Rejoice. Yeah. So joy is inbuilt. It does not depend on happiness. It does not depend on situations. In other words, even during crisis time, you can have joy. That makes it something supernatural. That makes it something different from the ordinary. So that's our legacy. That joy of the Lord is our strength, gladness of heart, no matter the situation. Somebody has made you annoyed. Somebody has, you know, blown your fuse, but you remain calm and comported. The joy of the Lord is right there. Same thing, peace, serenity. Peace, not the absence of war. This same kind of peace too is what you have when there's trouble, when you are passing through trials and tribulations of life, through challenges. The peace of God makes you stable, comported, no matter the situation. That's what every child of God should have. Amen? Long-suffering, patience. Have long-suffering, you are able to endure with people who are not matured enough. Who offend you, for example, they offend you, and you forbear with them. You forbear with them. For how long? Well, long suffering. It has to be long. It's enduring. Praise the Lord. Yes, and by, those people, they come and understand, oh, this person has been so wonderful. Despite all they have been doing against him or her, person remains loving and kind. Wonderful. There is something special about him. There's something special about her. This is what it brings out when you have long suffering. Of course, Jesus Christ had all that. And still having long suffering towards us. He wants people to repent. People are still out there, and some people are still unrepentant. We are told even during the great tribulation, some people do want, you know, the rust to fall upon them so that they will die. But God will still warn them and still want them to repent, but they will not repent. Even in that condition, God is still long suffering. Praise the Lord. Yes, one day, especially that one day, somebody will come to his senses and repent. Yes. Next one is gentleness. Having forbearance, humility, you know. Gentleness, even temper. When somebody is gentle, that person is not temperamental. That person is not harsh. It's not rash. It's gentle. It's not only men that should be gentle. Gentlemen, gentle women, gentle ladies. Amen. Have a gentle spirit because it's Christ-like. Christ was gentle. Moses was gentle. So these are things we need to know about the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, kindness, benevolence. Are you good? You need to be good. Some people say, oh, I don't need to be good because there's nothing... I don't have to be good because I'm saved by grace and that's all. I don't have to show goodness to anybody. I don't have to be kind. It doesn't add to my faith. It doesn't remove either. But we need to show Christ-like characteristics to other people. We need to show that we have Christ because we are the epistle read by all men. All believers, they are reading us. They are watching us. They watch the way we react. They watch everything we do, whether you know it or not, in your workplace, unbelievers, they are watching you like television. You don't know. They are watching you. They are watching you. Please, if you never knew, know it today. They are watching you. Anything you do, anything you say, you are a believer. You represent Christ. For that reason, they are watching you. You dare not fail them. You dare not disappoint them as a representative, as an ambassador of Christ. Amen? Please take note of that. That you represent Christ, you are Christ's ambassador, representing him on this earth. And so for that reason, we can't fail him, neither can we fail our fellow human beings who are expecting goodness and mercy and kindness from us. And that's why it's faithfulness, being trustworthy. Are you faithful? You should be faithful so that in any group you are, when they are thinking of the treasurer or financial secretary, you should think first of you as a Christian. Because you are reliable, you are dependable, you are honest, you are faithful. When you say anything, they believe you because you are always trustworthy. Next one is meekness. Restraint in the use of power or force. Meekness. Moses was very meek. Remember, Abraham was also very meek. When there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and that of Lot, his nephew, what happened? Out of meekness, he made Lot to choose first. I don't want strife. You are my brother's son. I don't want strife between you and me. Therefore, this is what I think we should do. You see that side, all that valley, all that plain area. And then this other side, mountainous area. Let us choose. You choose first, my son. Choose. So that there is some kind of distance. Because when you are too close like that, clashes come. You go and pitch your tent. I pitch my tent. And the boy, Lot, he chose the valley towards Sodom area. And there he dwelt until Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed and God spared him and his family. Praise the Lord. Yes. Next one and lastly is temperance there. Temperance. That's self-control, self-restraint. We need temperance in everything. Oh my God. Everything. Everything. Is it in eating? Is it in enjoyment? Whatever? Huh? Is it in pleasure? You need temperance. That's just it. You need moderation, whatever you are doing. Self-control is very, very important. Proverbs 14:29 says, whosoever is slow to anger and has great understanding, whosoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exhausts fully. That's talking about being temperate. You need to be temperate. When somebody vexes you or annoys you, how do you react? Some people are quick-tempered. You offend them, instantly you see the reaction right there and then. Right there and then. They don't postpone, don't say until later. Is it the best? It's not. Some people are easily offended, easily upset, easily angered, easily, quick-tempered. It's not a virtue that you should have. So if this any of your temperaments, you need to ask God to help you. Praise God. It is of the flesh, it's not of the spirit. Rather, we are told in James chapter 1, verse 19. What does it say? Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, slow to wrath. James 1, 19. That is the temperament of God himself. God is slow to anger, full of mercy and compassion. But what do we have? The carnal man, we have the direct opposite. We'll be swift to speak, swift to be angered, and slow to hear. Whereas the reverse is what is expected of us. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. James 1:19. Praise God. So we should be slow to anger. Don't be easily offended when people actually do things that you don't like. Don't be easily offended. Have some restraint. Have some kind of self-control. Because you have the Spirit of God. We were created to be fruitful. And we are commanded to be fruitful. We are blessed to be fruitful. Even the blessing of God makes us to be fruitful. And we are chosen to be fruitful. Like I told you earlier, Romans 8:29. And we are saved to be fruitful. God wants us to bring forth fruits. Amen? He saved you so that through you, others will be saved. That's God's purpose. He didn't save you so that, oh, you just remain an island of your own and you are saved, your family members are unsaved. You don't care about it. No. You are saved so that through you, others will be saved. We are redeemed to be fruitful. And we're empowered to be fruitful. The empowerment comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen. A fruitful life is a visible life. Visible to all. Let's read Matthew 7, 16 to 20. Matthew chapter 7, 16 to 20. Can someone put it up? Up there, Matthew 7. Praise God. Matthew 7, verse 16. This is what it says. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, of figs, of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast to the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You see, I said it earlier, that fruits are visible. It is by fruits that we know who are false prophets and true prophets. By the fruit they bear, that's it. By their fruit shall ye know them. Fruitfulness is a yardstick to identify false prophets. So it's important to know that. The fruit they bear. God is interested in our bearing fruit. Not just bearing fruit, but much fruit. In other words, God is interested in bringing forth quantitative fruit, quality and quantity. He's interested in both. Our fruit is a direct result of who controls our hearts. That we cannot see. Who is actually in control of your heart? I don't know. You claim you are a Christian. It's a claim. Many claim they are followers of Christ, but by their fruit shall ye know them. I haven't said it, and it's true that the church is a mixed multitude. Generally, mixed multitude. It's not everybody see dressed fine and beautiful that, you know, appear clean inwardly. Some are outright agents of the devil. They are in the church. They are imposters. They are, you know, they are not Christian. They know, but they are there, and they know why they are there. Some of them are sent by the enemy to scatter brethren, to cause dissension, all this kind of thing. But by their fruit you shall know them. So all we need to do is forbear with people who are having contrary behavior and all that. Because sometimes when people say they are Christians and the way they behave, you begin to question, really? So you're a Christian? Wonderful. Wonders never end. You too, you're a Christian. I see. Well, the Bible makes it clear that we can identify who they are by the fruit they bear. Our fruit is a direct result of who controls our heart. Self, is it self that is controlling your heart? Some people are so self-centered. It's good you love yourself. Because some people say, oh, before you love your neighbor, you have to love yourself. Good. But if you are self-centered, if you love yourself so much to the detriment of the Holy Spirit, there is danger there. Because if you love yourself more than you love God, that's a big problem. You can't be a true disciple of Christ. Praise God. Is it self that is controlling you, or is it the Holy Spirit, or the devil outright? How do we know? By their fruit shall ye know them. What fruit am I bearing? A life that is not connected to Christ bears different kinds of fruits. A life that is unsurrendered to the Lord naturally produces negative, unpleasant fruits. The carnal, body-led, and worldly-minded person bears these other kinds of fruit according to Galatians 5, 19 to 20. Galatians 5, same Galatians, from 19, 20. Now the works of the flesh are these: adultery, a sexual immorality, fornication, impurity, sex outside of marriage, uncleanness, that's lustful pleasure, lasciviousness, that's shameful deeds, indecent actions, idolatry, what is exalted above Christ in our lives, that becomes an idol. These are the works of the flesh. In Galatians 5 from 19, we're reading. Next one is witchcraft, sorcery, magic. You know, people who are dedicated to hurting other people, they are agents of the devil, witches and wizards, witchcraft. People who practice witchcraft, they practice sorcery, magic. The next one there is hatred, hostility, bitterness. All these are works of the flesh. Which fruit am I bearing? Personalize it, please. Next one is variance. Fruit of the flesh. Causing trouble. Quarrelsome person. You have variance with brethren. The next one is emulation. Being jealous. You know? Then the next one is wrath. Quick temper. Ill temper. Full of outbursts of anger. Without just reason. Even with just reason, you're not supposed to remain wrathful and full of anger all the time. But we have outbursts of anger all the time, cursing and doing all this kind of stuff because you're full of wrath. Next one is strife, selfish ambition. People who are always argumentative when it comes to unity of the body of Christ, always argumentative, causing dissensions. Is that the spirit you have? You are the best judge. Seditions, divisions, dissensions, factions. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. You know, all those parting spirits, heresies, having opinion or belief system that is different from what is generally believed, especially doctrine. Heresy, some people are heretical. They teach and believe what is not scriptural. Envies. You know what envy is? Instead of appreciating people doing good or doing better than you, you are not happy with them. You are envious of them, wishing them evil. We can't have that spirit and claim to have the spirit of Christ at the same time. Murders. You know, people kill in different ways. Abortions. Killing, slaying people, physically and otherwise, murders, drunkenness, being intoxicated with drinks and all that, orgies, revelings, wild parties, noisy parties that result in sexual promiscuity, revelings, and such like. When we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, 9 of them were clear-cut. 9 of them. But the works of the flesh are so many. 70 of them. You count it very well. Works of the flesh, Galatians 5. Praise God. So we can see some people bear the fruit of the Spirit, some others bear this. But some people will say, oh, see, we are not all perfect. Therefore, you have a mixture. Some people will have a tendency toward the fruit of the Spirit and some toward that. But that's not the ideal. They are these that will become Christ-like. In Christ was no error, no guile, no sin. And that's the ultimate for every believer. Amen. Praise God. Some believe that those who don't bear good fruits are those who profess to know Christ, but whose relationship is insincere. Let us read Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Titus chapter 1, verse 16 tells us about people who are professors. They profess to know Christ, but in works they deny him. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Say they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. May that not describe us in Jesus' name. God, there are people who claim, I'm a Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost. No doubt about that, because I can hear you speak in tongues. But the fruit, the character of Christ, is it there? And that's what really matters. We can have the anointing. We can have the power to do signs and wonders, the miraculous. If we don't have the character of Christ, we are going nowhere. Amen? You know that very well. In other words, such a person may not make heaven, but full of power. Like you know very well, there are people who are called borrowed vessels. God will use them, eventually dump them. But it's not God's fault, though, because they believe they can serve God with money, they can build churches for people, they can help pastors, pay pastors, build churches, but they themselves, they are unconsecrated. They don't give their life to Christ. But they are full of all those kind of philanthropic works. Such people are borrowed vessels. God will use them quite all right. They will build the church. Godly children of God will be raised there. Minister will be raised there. No doubt about that. But they themselves, who are so used, they will not be in heaven. That's not our portion. Don't be a borrowed vessel. Praise God. So some profess they know Christ, but in words they deny him. We need to depend on Jesus for everything. For in him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17 verse 28. God's word is to transform us into the image of Christ. Like we said earlier, Romans 8 verse 29. And make us fruitful as he was. Christ was fruitful. So we should be fruitful. Read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. It tells us that God wants us to be fruitful in humility, in forgiveness, in having the mind of Christ, in being compassionate, in good works as well. We need to be fruitful. Good works, yes. Good works can never save anybody. But the Bible says when you are saved, you are expected to bring forth good works. Amen? Yes. Let your light so shine before men that they see your and glorify your Father in heaven. You see the importance now? So, as a Christian, already born again, you are supposed to bring forth good fruits and good works. Titus chapter 2, verse 7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Same book of Titus chapter 3, verse 2. It says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Praise God. Yes, and several other scriptures. Titus chapter 3, verse 14 also says, and let us also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they may not be unfruitful. If they are unfruitful, they won't bring forth good fruit or good works. No. The parable of the unfruitful barren fig tree in Luke 13, 6 to 9 confirms the allegory of John chapter 15. You can read it on your own. Luke chapter 13, 6 to 9. There was a fig tree that was barren. And because it was barren, you know, the vine dresser wasn't happy. You are just eating food for nothing. You are just taking the nutrient of the soil for nothing. We expect fruit from you, you're not producing anything. What happened to the fig tree? It was hewn down. Praise the Lord. So if you read that story, you see it there. And confirm what we are talking about in John chapter 15. Examples of fruit bearing. When you bear the character of Christ, you are bearing fruit. But there are some other special examples I want to give to you. When your eyes are consecrated like that of Job, you don't want to behold evil or nude women. You don't delight in pornography. You are bearing fruit if you continually do that. Job 31 verse 1. Job consecrated his eyes so that he will not see nudeness, so that he will not be defiled. We too should do the same. Close your eyes to pornography on the internet. By mistake, pornographic pictures and videos can come up, but don't delight them. Reject them. Amen? Yes, Matthew 5:28 tells us that it's possible to commit the sin of adultery, even in your heart. Matthew 5:28. Therefore, your heart, your eyes are very important. You need to consecrate them to the Lord so that you will not sin against the Lord with your eyes. When you love your enemies and pray for them, you are showing good fruit. Because that's what Jesus commanded, that you love your enemies. Love them that despise you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Matthew 5:44. When you pray for those who persecute you, you are showing forth good fruit. Romans 12:14. When you will easily forgive people who offend you, you are showing forth good fruit because it resembles what Christ will do. The practice of doing what the Bible teaches is fruit bearing, and it should be all lifelong. All lifelong, we should bear fruit to the glory of God. Results of fruit bearing. Number one, Christian character. That's the result of fruit bearing when you are bearing really good fruit. Second one is Christian conduct. Christian character results in Christian conduct. And the third one is Christian converts. Christian converts. So the three C's of fruit bearing: Christian character, Christian conduct, and Christian converts. In Romans 16, verse 5, we are told of a certain man, Epaphras, who was regarded as the first fruit of Asia. What that means, he was the first convert. When they preached the gospel in Asia, this one was the very first convert, or so referred to, Romans 16, verse 5. Bearing fruit is inseparably connected to soul winning. So, follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. When you follow Jesus, he will teach you and make you fishers of men. Initially, just knowing Jesus will not make you a fisherman, but you have to follow him to know his way, and then he will make you a fisher of men. A fisherman catches fishes, not just one, several volumes, deluge of them. Praise the Lord. So God does not want us to be barren nor unfruitful. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 tells us that we should not be barren or unfruitful. Those who are barren or unfruitful, they forget how God delivered them from dead works. 2 Peter 1:8. We are not saved by good works, like I said earlier, but we are supposed to produce good works as a result of our salvation. So bear that in mind. In summary, what are we talking about? What fruit am I bearing? What fruit are you bearing? What fruit am I bearing? Fruitfulness is a yardstick for identifying true and false prophets. We can glorify God by bearing much fruit, quantity and quality. Allow His word and His spirit to help you to be fruitful, because the Holy Spirit helps us to be fruitful. Amen. Jesus reveals to redeem. He has not just come to give you a catalog of sins so that, oh, you live here dejected. Say, oh, the enumerated 17, I found that 8 of them I'm guilty. Don't go away from here with a guilty conscience. Praise the Lord. Jesus reveals to redeem. The reason He has opened our eyes to this thing is for you to align yourself with Him so that you bear good fruit. You need to repent. Actually, it's one of the things every Christian should do. Daily repentance. Anything you know you are doing that is not right in sight of God, ask God for mercy. Now, not tomorrow, not when I get home. Make up your mind. See, all those things, they are foreign and they are in my life. They are not supposed to be there. Why? Why am I quick-tempered? Why don't I have self-control? Whereas Christ has self-control. And the fruit of the Spirit says we should have self-control, temperance. I should be temperate. So, Lord, help me. That should be the attitude. If the Lord has shown you where you have sinned, all you need to do, quickly repent. How unfruitful have you been to the Lord, asking for mercy? Here and now, repent and accept His forgiveness. Many of us may have committed adultery spiritually, like we read in Matthew 5:28. When you look at a woman lustfully, you commit adultery with her in your heart. We may have done that and vice versa. Ask God for mercy. You may have been so much interested in pornography that it has become a habit, so that you need to be delivered. The deliverance is now. Make up your mind. Ask God for mercy. Because you are supposed to bear for good fruit. By the fruit shall ye know them. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, the good news is that God can pardon you. God can forgive all those your sins and trespasses and give you a brand new heart to love Him. Amen? When the woman that was caught in adultery was brought before Jesus, she did not receive further condemnation. She was already condemned. Jesus Christ forgave her, discharged her, acquitted her, and said, go and sin no more. That's it. You'll be bearing bad fruits, fruit of the flesh, evil fruit. Ask God so that you have the grace to produce good fruits. Amen. If you are listening to me, or you are here and you are not born again, please give your life to Christ. Accept that you are a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you. He went all the way to Calvary because of you. To die for you, to cleanse you. He has shed His blood. And that blood has been shed once and for all time. It is finished. You can have forgiveness today. Now. Ask Him for mercy. Ask Him for pardon. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you and make you a brand new creature. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Ask yourself, truly, have those old things passed away in my life? Are they still very much there? They ought not to be there. Because your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you. And the fruit you bear should advertise Jesus through you. and in you. Amen? Yes. So God is interested in our fruit bearing. What kind of fruit am I bearing? Fruit unto the glory of God, or fruit that will magnify or glorify the devil? The choice is yours, the choice is mine. Let us pray. My Lord and my God, I want to thank you concerning the fruitfulness I described in John chapter 15. Lord, we have discussed this topic. What fruit am I bearing? Lord, if we are true to ourselves, we find that we are bearing foreign fruits that is not supposed to be there. Carnality, traits of carnality, traits of the flesh, they are still very much there. And we are supposed to have grown in you, some of us, having known you for so long. Help us, Holy Spirit. Lord, those things that are strangers to our body, they should leave us in the name of Jesus. And that the fullness of the Spirit of God will come and take control in our hearts, so that we bear fruits that glorify the name of the Lord. Help me, Father, I pray, in Jesus' name. May the Lord God bless you in Jesus' name.